opening day, a.k.a. blister day. We got some takeaways from the first, you know, the first real day of the season. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. Adam Azer with Scott White and Heath Cummings today. Chris Towers is out sick. We're going to tell you about some ad drops. We're going to talk about saves. We're going to talk about blisters. We're going to talk about the best and the worst from yesterday. But first, a message for employers. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/strike. That's ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Good morning, gentlemen. What's up?
Good Baseball's morning.
Awful.
Baseball's what?
All of our... Are we like 0-4 as a fantasy baseball department?
Why?
All of our teams lost.
Oh, really?
What do you mean all of our teams lost?
Not our fantasy
Braves
teams.
Braves lost? The Yankees
oh,
lost?
Like the
Mets
okay,
lost? The
actual,
Royals lost?
Actual baseball teams.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about fantasy teams.
No.
No, look, I mean, if the Yankees lose today, I'm done. I'm not watching any more baseball. It's
ever again.
Do or die. No, just for the season, you know. But
okay.
More importantly, waiver wire Razor is at it again, folks. Already making some ad drops. I want to know if I'm alone. Did you guys make any ad drops based on yesterday's action?
I made zero ad drops, but I am going to halfway advise some in today's waiver wire column.
Halfway.
Yeah, halfway.
Who are you
going to
lead with?
Well, who do you think I'm going to lead with?
I is it Santiago Casilla or is it Hector Neris?
Santiago
Casilla. Oh, I thought it was going to be Kendall Graveman.
How could it not be?
I'll tell you why.
I'll tell you why.
Because Bob Melvin, this is the great manager quote, he said he used Ryan Madsen in the eighth to face Mike Trout and Albert Pujols. So here's what happened in case you missed it. Santiago Casilla got the save for the A's. He threw a scoreless inning. He did walk one. Ryan Dole pitched the seventh. Sean Doolittle pitched, I think he got two outs in the eighth. Ryan Madsen came in and got one out. But Melvin said he wanted Madsen because it was the best matchup for Trout and Pujols. And Melvin said, quote, it worked out. Now, I would say Madsen gave up a double to Trout and an intentional walk to Pujols. And then I think he got CJ Cron to end the inning. So I don't know that it really worked out, but they got the save. So just because, you know, that's why I was saying maybe not Casilla, because I don't know what will happen next time if he was really using Madsen.
You don't know what I was going to say about Casilla, Adam.
Go ahead. Why don't you talk?
I do think that Monday's bullpen usage wasn't necessarily all that revelatory because they did use Doolittle and Madsen in what would appear to be the highest leverage situation, and they said at the start of the year that there were going to be several pitchers in the mix for saves. So just because that opportunity happened to fall in Casilla's lap this time doesn't mean it regularly will. But he's only 9% owned, and we have no other indication that there's a clearer front runner than him. I equate the situation kind of to Raisel Iglesias's in that he's the front runner in a very dicey situation. And Iglesias is 69% owned versus Casilla's 9% ownership. I'm not saying Casilla needs to be universally added. He's still near the very bottom of the closer pecking order in fantasy. But, I mean, 9%, and you just got to say that certainly needs to be added in some leagues.
All right, well, here's my question. Two questions. First of all, would you drop Ryan Madsen for Santiago Casilla?
Yes.
No.
It's a tough one. I don't know what to do. I have a situation where I have Ryan Madsen, and I don't know. I'm going to be so mad at myself if I drop Madsen and he gets the next save.
I'm putting Madsen at like an over-under of 20 saves and Casilla at like 12 and a half right now.
I would, unless it was a situation where I needed the Athletics closer, whoever I decide it is, in my lineup right now to get me saves. If it's just like a guy from my bench, I think I might rather own Hector Neris.
I was going to say that.
Either.
That's what I was going to say. That was my next question. Like, would you lead the waiver wire column with Hector Neris? Because Genmar Gomez was terrible in getting a save yesterday. And his manager actually came out and said, I'm worried. And, you know, we've been talking about this. Hector Neris is better.
Like, everybody in the world knew that Genmar Gomez was not any good. And you are so confident that he's good that after one bad performance in which you still win the game, now you're worried.
I mean, he had like an 850 ERA in the second half last year.
Then why is he the closer?
Well, okay, here's the quote from Pete McCannon. I'm concerned. I had two guys up in the pen in that ninth inning. He's just not getting the ball down the way he did when he was successful. I want to make sure that he gets the opportunities, but at the same time, I don't want to let the game slip away. He has to execute. Like I said, for me, he's earned the right to be the closer for right now, but he's got to get the ball down.
Well,
so, he's not removing him tomorrow. But it sounds like Gomez has a very short leash. And Neris worked the eighth inning, while I think Joaquin Benoit worked like the sixth, which doesn't mean they couldn't change it all up if they decided to make a change and go with Benoit. But Neris is their best reliever, and I don't have confidence in Gomez turning this around. So if the Phillies are expressing some doubt here as well, I think it's just a matter of time.
So who's the best to own? Like, I am currently looking at one of my teams where I have Ken Giles and I have Mark Melancon. I want a third closer. I have Ryan Madsen, I have Jason Grilli, and I have Fernando Rodney on my team. I actually also have Jairus Familia. So I actually want four closers. This is one of those head-to-head categories leagues where you can change your lineup every day. And I think you should try to get four closers in that league. I think it would be helpful for you. I still have plenty of starting pitchers.
I don't think you need Grilli. Sounds like it's just going to be a minimum DL stay for Ozuna.
And he's not very good anyway.
So, you know, week two, it'll be too late to start Grilli. I know you said it's a daily league, but yeah, so dump Grilli for Neris. And then, you know, if Madsen does end up getting the majority of the chances in Oakland, you still have him.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you for helping with my team. And I think that I think a lot of people are probably looking at the same group of fringy closers. And Neris could definitely be, like, Neris had over 100 strikeouts last year, right? He's good.
Came close, at least. I know he had a good rate in a lot of innings, so there's a good chance. Let me find it exactly so I don't have to just talk around it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I don't know
he
that.
Had 102. Yep.
If he becomes the closer, Neris won't throw as many innings as he threw last year, which is working against him because I think they like him for more than one inning. But I don't know. It just seems like a guy, if you want to speculate right now, seems like a guy to speculate on. I added Carlos Gomez, who's 69% owned in two leagues. And, you know...
Did you drop Delino DeShields for him?
I dropped Delino DeShields in a points league. Because here's the thing. We thought Delino DeShields... He's one of the big losers from yesterday. I don't know how long it lasts. But just from yesterday, we thought Delino DeShields was going to lead off for the Rangers. Carlos Gomez led off for the Rangers. Jurickson Profar played left field, batted ninth, went 0 for 4 with two strikeouts. And Jeff Banister says that Profar, Rua, and DeShields are all going to play left field. So I would not drop Gomez necessarily, would not drop DeShields for Gomez necessarily in a categories league. It kind of would depend on what I need. But in a points league, I don't see how you don't make that swap. In fact, I probably should have drafted Gomez over DeShields in that league to begin with.
Yep.
Yeah, I probably should have. But this is one of the, like, do we have much confidence Jurickson Profar is good?
No.
No? We don't have a lot. I don't have a lot of confidence Delino DeShields is good.
I have more confidence. Like, we've seen better from DeShields more recently than we have Profar. If he just keeps doing what he did in spring training, this will sort itself out. He's probably going to be in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, I think he'll get a shot. I was really shocked. Like, why not just play Profar at third and play Delino DeShields in left field? Like, why do they have to play Gallo at third?
Well,
that's a good question.
I think that the just saying, like, because, you know, I keep talking about Delino DeShields, and now one day into the season I drop him. It's really, that was about Carlos Gomez. Gomez is 69% owned. He homered. He also stole a base and was called out. I mean, officially he was caught stealing, but I'm pretty sure he was safe. And, yeah, again, leading off for the Rangers, so I think... What he did with Texas last year, there was enough excitement there for me to take a shot on him.
The circumstances you're mentioning, it's not like I'm chastising you for dropping DeShields. It's a three outfielder points league where you don't need stolen bases.
Right.
I'm just saying, if you drafted DeShields as a sleeper for steals in like a five outfielder roto league, let's not pull the plug just yet.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. I totally agree, and I didn't want people to think I was pulling the plug. It was more about Gomez than DeShields. And then that was the only guy I added that wasn't a relief pitcher. So let's get into yesterday's action. Who do you think is going to hit more home runs this year, Mark Trumbo or Chris Davis with a K?
Well, Chris Davis has got a a one homer lead, but I'm going to go with Trumbo still. I don't think either one of them probably reaches last year's totals, but they could both get within spitting distance.
Okay. And they both were over 40 last year. Trumbo had more. I think Trumbo had, what, like 47?
47 for Trumbo and 42 for
Davis? I think
Davis?
42. Yeah. And they're off to good starts. I want a hitter in a deep league. Who do I want? Steve Pierce, 14% owned, or Ryan Schimpf, 19% owned?
I'd rather have Pierce. I've always been fascinated by Pierce. Two of the last 3 years, he's hit about 290 with an OPS over 850, but didn't seem like none of his teams were giving regular playing time. The fact that the Blue Jays removed a left field option when they cut Melvin Upton loose, and B, they gave Pierce the start at first base over Justin Smoke, even against a right-handed pitcher yesterday, gives me some encouragement that they actually like him as much as I do. So want to see him play more before we talk about mixed league, making him a mixed league addition, but he's on my scouting list for now.
I will say, just in honor, since Chris Towers is not here, somebody should say it, that Ryan Schimpf was pretty phenomenal last year. Had a 130 OPS plus, 869 OPS, 20 home runs, and just 330 plate appearances, and didn't look like a fluke, at least on opening day. I think I'd lean Pierce too, but there's a pretty decent chance that we overlooked both of these guys.
Schimpf? I don't have much confidence in Schimpf hitting even 200, to be. Yeah. Like, I understand a lot of fly balls, a lot of power, but he hit 217 last year in half a season's at bats, basically, and just, it seems like home run or bust for him.
Did Ryan Schimpf lead baseball in isolated power, which is slugging percentage minus batting average, because it was over 300?
he wouldn't have been a qualifier.
Okay.
But how many plate appearances did he have?
I don't know. He played 89 games. He batted 217. Schimpf hit 20 home runs in 89 games. Had a 533 slugging percentage. He's eligible at second base as of now, and he played third base and batted fifth yesterday. So Schimpf could have second base and third base eligibility soon. Let me throw Mark Reynolds in there, by the way. Mark Reynolds went 2-for-3 with a home run on the road at Milwaukee. Would you rather have Steve Pierce, Ryan Schimpf, Mark Reynolds?
Reynolds is going to be at the back of that list for me just because I don't think he'll have a job for long.
No, yeah. he's probably realistically a 1 month rental, but I think there's a chance for the next month he's better than a lot of guys you're currently playing at corner infield. Like, I think Reynolds will be better than those two in April. Just don't know that he's worth anything at all after that.
It could be just like a 2.5 week rental too.
That's possible. I think it's optimistic.
When Desmond comes back, I don't think they're going to stick him in the outfield. I think he would just go first base, regardless of how Reynolds and Parra are doing.
All right, guys. More stuff from yesterday. Closer stuff. The Angels are using closer by committee as well. So, like, it looks kind of like the A's are going to use closer by committee as of now. But the Angels, and we like Cam Bedrosian, and Houston Streets on his way back, making progress. What's your read on this situation with the Angels?
Like, the difference for me is the A's have, like, four different relievers who are more or less equivalent and could all close potentially. The Angels just have one good reliever, and it's Cam Bedrosian. And, you know, he may have intentions, Socha may have intentions of going committee, but the cream will rise to the top.
Okay. I do think two things. One, amongst players with at least 300 plate appearances, Ryan Schimpf did lead baseball in ISO last year at 315, edging out David Ortiz.
Wow.
Two, the only thing that really bothered me about that I read, and I can't remember exactly where I read it, was it does make you think, when they say we're going committee, that they're just holding the job until Street comes back.
Yeah.
Like, if they weren't worried about when Street comes back, I could see them just naming a guy.
But then there's also, how good is Street even?
Right, but if Bedrosian's going to have to prove it over the next month, and then when Street comes back, we have to wait for Street to screw it up too, that's a long time before Cam Bedrosian's a closer you really want to start.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll see. I mean, it is worth noting that Street actually did lose his job to Cam Bedrosian for like a day last year before Bedrosian got hurt. But
And he had a terrible year.
That didn't help Benoit coming. I mean, not Benoit. It didn't help Hector Neris coming into this season. That similar situation with Gomez.
So who would you rather own, Hector Neris or Cam Bedrosian?
Bedrosian.
Okay. Jason Grilly struggled yesterday in his cameo. It was a non-save situation. He gave up the home run, the walk-off home run to Mark Trumbo.
Yeah.
Sam Dyson got roughed up. 4 hits, 3 runs, lost the game for the Rangers.
And that was get out of the inning.
That was a non-save situation as well. He's been a good pitcher 3 years in a row, so can we shrug this one off for Sam Dyson?
The one thing that helps him is that the reason it wasn't a save situation is because Matt Bush blew the save the inning before that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for, like, you just put this one in your back pocket and remember it, but it doesn't mean anything probably yet.
And Blake Treinen got a save. He struck out two. He struck out two Marlins. Got his first save.
I'm rooting for Blake Treinen now because I got him in Towel Wars. He's a quarter of my yearly budget to get him. So now I need him to do well.
All right. Awesome. So injuries, news, and notes. Important stuff here. Noah Syndergaard left with a blister on his middle finger. His next start will be pushed back from Saturday to Sunday. And he had a great start. Robert Gesellman's going to pitch Saturday now. Gesellman pitched out of the bullpen for one inning yesterday. And Corey Kluber also had a blister on his finger, and it was affecting the spin on his pitches, and he had a bad start. Gave up 3 home runs, 5 runs in 6 innings, also with 3 walks at Texas. So Syndergaard and Kluber both dealing with blisters. And are there any concerns, let's say for Kluber, other than the injury, if you looked at yesterday's start? I think he was terrible on opening day last year, right? Kluber.
Oh, he had a lot of terrible starts early because that inspired the great and now infamous Adam Azer, Kluber is no good rant.
Oh, God, you jerk. I can't believe you just spun it like that. That is absolutely
matters.
That's not what I said. That is not what I said. I never said he's overrated. I just said his ERA matters. You guys seem to overlook his ERA all the time. Okay. And did have a bad start on opening day. His first three starts.
He didn't win the Cy Young. He only finished third. So.
Yeah, there you go.
You said he's not an ace. That's what you said, be clear.
Is that what I said?
Yes, he is not an ace.
Okay, well, maybe I was wrong about that.
Getting back to the blister issue. Like, Rich Hill missed most of the second half last year with a blister, so, like, it's one of those injuries that, like, can be a very small thing or it can be a big thing, depending on its location and, I guess, its size and just how much it impacts your ability to throw the baseball like you're used to. The Mets, for Syndergaard, they pushed him back a day. Did you mention that?
Yes.
They pushed him back from Saturday to Sunday. So, you know, that doesn't mean it can't become a bigger blister in Sunday's start.
But that sounds good.
Even more time. But yes, it's an encouraging outlook initially. Kluber, I don't think that situation is as clear. And you were saying off the air, Heath, that you thought it sounded more severe.
Just from and I haven't obviously seen the blisters, but just from the reporting that I heard, I mean, they said Kluber had a callus on his finger rip open, and he was awful, which I would assume we can at least contribute partially to that situation, whereas Syndergaard was just completely and totally dominant. Maybe it didn't happen till the last pitch he threw, I don't know. But yeah, I'm more worried about Kluber than I am Syndergaard right now. I might put Syndergaard as like a 3 on the worryometer and Kluber at a 6.
Okay. Yeah, Kluber, like I said, it was affecting the spin on his pitches, so we can partially at least attribute his struggles yesterday to the blister. We just got to wait and see. There's nothing we can say. Felix Hernandez, what did you think of Felix Hernandez's start yesterday, guys? He left with groin tightness after 5 innings. He gave up only 2 runs in 5 innings. They were both home runs, and they were both rockets, one from Springer, one from Correa. It was an interesting start. You know, I watched a lot of this game. And then after he left, I watched the national championship game, which had a lot of fouls, by the way. 65 pitches, 9 swinging strikes. That's good for him. The velocity was pretty encouraging for Felix Hernandez. But I still didn't. I don't know. I didn't really know how to interpret the start yesterday from Felix. What'd you guys think?
If it wasn't for the groin injury, I'd be fairly encouraged. I mean, he was efficient, got some decent swinging strikes. Yes, he gave up a couple of home runs, but that's. I'd much rather that than just get beat around.
That was an issue for him last year, though, the home runs. Wasn't a huge issue?
And, no,
I mean, everybody gives up home runs these days, I suppose.
I think it also depends on what kind of curve you're grading Felix Hernandez on now. Are you looking for 2012 Felix Hernandez? Because you're going to be disappointed all year long. But if you're looking for a solid number two starter, I don't think this is bad at all, except for the fact that he's now hurt.
He expects to make his next start. If you're in a daily league and you've got Carlos Carrasco, who's pitching today, Ohio.com, I was just reading some notes after the game, Ohio.com said Carrasco is going to throw maybe five innings as he isn't stretched out. So you might want to sit him at Texas.
If he pitches like he did this spring, it'd be tough to last that long.
Yeah, I sat him for Patrick Corbin, the two-star Patrick Corbin. It was a tough decision, but now I'm not regretting it. GM Ross Atkins of the Blue Jays says Roberto Osuna's injury is not serious. Joe Biagini could get some saves if Jason Grilly is not getting the saves, but it looks like Grilly's the guy there for now. But Osuna could be back, you know, next week at some point. St. Louis signed Stephen Piscotty to a contract extension. Drew Pomeranz appears to be on track to pitch this weekend. Junior Guerra was bad, and now he's DL-bound with a calf injury. Junior Guerra on the DL for the Brewers. Bronson Arroyo will start for Cincinnati on Saturday. Let's see where to jump to now. I could talk about lineups, but I'd rather talk about pitchers. Let's talk about some of the good aces from yesterday. Dallas Keuchel, woo! 7 innings, 2 hits. Dude, Dallas Keuchel is such a good fielder. I mean, we obviously, you know, if you follow baseball, you know that he wins gold gloves. He made some awesome plays yesterday. It's a big part of his game because he got a lot of ground balls and pitched brilliantly. Only 4 strikeouts, but 2 hits and no runs in 7 innings for Keuchel against Seattle. I thought Danny Duffy, despite the 3 walks, looked really good. 8 strikeouts in 6 innings, 1 run at Minnesota. Steven Strasburg only struck out 3 Marlins, but gave up 2 runs in 7 innings. Clayton Kershaw was outstanding. 2 hits, no walks, 1 earned run. 2 runs total, 8 strikeouts in 7 innings. And Julio Teheran, he did walk 3, but, you know, pretty good start. 6 innings, no runs, 6 strikeouts at the Mets, and no runs for the Braves. And Teheran had the second worst run support in baseball last year, and off to the same start this year. So we had Keuchel, Duffy, Strasburg, Kershaw, and Teheran. Discuss, fellas.
Well, Duffy's velocity was still averaging like 93 on his fastball, which is down from the end of last year. So that, I mean, that raises concern for me. The result obviously doesn't indicate that there's any kind of issue, and it may be a situation kind of like, you know, Madison Bumgarner lost 1.5 miles on his average fastball velocity last year, and was, you know, you never would have known it. He had a career high strikeout rate. So
On the Duffy velocity thing, he was 91, 92 at the beginning of the spring. He was just barely over 93 towards the end of the spring. He was 93.8, I think, was his average fastball yesterday. So it's still climbing. And I don't think it's fair to compare, and Scott wasn't doing this, but when you want to, a lot of times we'll compare where is this guy compared to where he was in April last year, compared to where he was in May last year at the beginning of the year. And Duffy's fastest velocity of the year was in April and May last year, but that's because he was pitching out of the bullpen in April and May last year. In July and August last year, he averaged 95.1 and 94.9 miles per hour on his fastball. So if he's maybe 1.5 miles per hour off, that's not as concerning as if he's 2, 3, 4 miles an hour off where he was last year.
And it has, yeah, like you said, it's gone up a little since spring training. It could, since the start of spring training, it could go up a little more. Like the way I put it, and this may be not the most realistic scenario. Maybe it'll be more realistic if Cole Hamels has a bad start first time out. But if Duffy's relief pitcher eligibility doesn't matter to you, coming off this great start, maybe you could flip him for like a Cole Hamels type starting pitcher, just to be safe.
Would you trade him for Gerrit Cole?
No.
You Darvish?
Yes.
Yeah, I trade him for Darvish, but you watched the Royals game yesterday, right, Heath?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I flipped. I thought he looked great. I mean, I thought he looked nasty. His changeup was Duffy, I'm talking about. His changeup was really good.
He did a great job mixing his pitches. I mean, the home run to Sano was just murdered, but that's going to happen.
Sano's going to do that, yeah.
Could there be a more Dallas Keuchel start than the one he had last night? It was fantastic, and it turned out really well, but I don't, like, you're not going to throw very many 7-inning shutouts when you strike out 4 batters.
Well, The ground balls are more important to me with Keuchel than the strikeouts. He seems to need...
ground balls are good, but still, you cannot expect to have that type of success where the opposing team puts 19 balls in play and two of them turn into hits.
Well, if you get soft contact... Look, you're not going to get shutouts, but I'm not expecting him to have a zero ERA. But I was very encouraged. I thought he looked good, and... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like he's just gonna get a lot of balls in play, but they're gonna be ground balls and they're gonna be soft contact. Hopefully, I don't know. I came away encouraged. You, I guess, looking at the strike.
I wasn't discouraged. I just thought that's Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah,
but who is Dallas Keuchel? That's the thing. And he's always gonna be a ground ball pitcher.
He won't give up as few as two hits, but every start he won't have as few as four strikeouts either. I think it's fair to say. So.
Yeah, we've got one season in his career where he struck out more than 7.7 per nine.
And I just think that because he fields his position so well, because he gets so many ground balls, Dallas Keuchel can get away with a 7.7 per nine K rate, and still, I'll say, I think he could have an ERA under 3 with that K rate.
He did it once.
I think he could do it again. I don't know that he's going to win the Cy Young. But
This was 2014 Dallas Keuchel.
Look, Scott and I are Keuchel believers. Heath and Chris not as much. I'm not quite sure where Chris stands on that. I know Heath doesn't like him as much, but all right, one in the books for Keuchel, off to a good start.
Good.
All right, let's move on to the bad aces from yesterday. Yu Darvish, 4 runs on 5 hits, on 4 hits, 5 walks against Cleveland. Garrett Cole, I have a lot to say about him. Actually, those are the only two I have in the bad aces. Let's start with Darvish. Did you guys read the article I sent you today?
Yes.
Man, it was crazy. Let me just see who wrote it.
Is it Mac Engel?
It was in the Star Telegram, and who'd you think it was? Yeah, it was Mac Engel. Rangers should trade Yu Darvish, who doesn't have it. And he's basically saying, like, we've watched Yu Darvish long enough to know that he's a talented pitcher, but he doesn't have it. He doesn't pitch as well as his stuff should indicate. I thought it was like a blistering article. This guy was second in Cy Young voting a few years ago before he had Tommy John. And ninth in Cy Young voting as a rookie. I don't know what you want from Yu Darvish. But yeah, this was not a good start for him. Any thoughts, guys?
Clickbait.
clickbait.
I thought you wanted thoughts on the start, not the article.
Yeah, on the start.
You know, it was not a good start. It's a very good offense. I am not overly concerned.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I don't think you should trade Yu Darvish off your fantasy team because he doesn't have it. I think you should hold on to him.
I mean, look, you can look at the walks. He can walk people. Yu Darvish's whip is sometimes a little higher than what you'd expect from an ace, but he makes up for that by being maybe the best strikeout pitcher in baseball. In fact, I think they were saying on the broadcast yesterday he's got the best strikeout rate in baseball history for any pitcher who's thrown a certain amount of innings or whatever. Can we move on from Darvish and go to Cole?
Yeah.
I can't decide if I'm concerned about Cole or not. Like, the strikeouts weren't there. He kind
of
had
a Keuchel-esque
start to the first 4 innings and then had some sequencing issues.
The swinging strikes weren't there. I think he had 4 swinging strikes, maybe 6 all game. And I did watch this, and Cole, fastball was great. I mean, he's throwing really hard. The secondary pitches weren't there. And, man, he was – I didn't see any Brooks baseball data, but it seemed he was very reliant on the fastball. And by the time he got to the batting order the third time around, Benintendi hits a 3-run homer. I will say that there were 2 infield hits in that inning, so it didn't necessarily have to be so bad. But, yeah, this wasn't a great start for Cole.
Well, and I feel like I was the low guy on Cole coming in, and look, obviously one start doesn't confirm everything I was thinking, but he was throwing hard last year too, and not all that effective with it, not getting the strikeouts we saw 2 years ago. So, I mean, one start in, it seems like a continuation of that. Like, the velocity is there, but he's not getting a whole lot out of it.
Okay, and any thoughts on his counterpart, Rick Porcello, who was a so-so ace yesterday?
It was a very Rick Porcello start. Nothing to be alarmed by, nothing to be excited by. He was Rick Porcello.
He sure was.
One walk and a win. That's what I drafted him for.
Or in our case, one walk and a quality start in the For the People podcast league. Good whip in this game. All right, guys, listen. So we've got a new sponsor, and if you're an employer, you need to pay attention. A great website that's going to make hiring much easier for you. That's ZipRecruiter.com/strike. So that's the free promo we got, ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Posting your job in one place, it's not enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can with ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including Facebook, Twitter, and social media, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Just quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Also, these pitchers from yesterday. John Gray, bad start at Milwaukee. He threw four scoreless, actually a lot like Garrett Cole, four scoreless innings, and then everything fell apart in the fifth. Gray did not record an out. He gave up five runs in the fifth. Marco Estrada had a, I would say, pretty Estrada start at Baltimore. Two runs, four strikeouts, and six innings. And Kevin Gausman, not a good start for him. He walked four. He gave up two runs on five hits and five and a third against Toronto. Usually not a bad walk guy, so bad control yesterday. But let's talk about John Gray and getting beat up at Milwaukee, five runs on six hits in four-plus innings.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I mean, we talked about him yesterday going against the Brewers lineup away from Coors Field, the team that struck out the most in baseball last year. I really wanted to see John Gray make a statement after a pretty impressive spring training where he worked to diversify his arsenal. You know, the strikeouts look great. The first four innings, everything was going exactly the way I wanted. But the thing about drafting a Rockies pitcher is you really want them to make the most of those starts away from Coors Field because you know they're going to take some lumps at home. So that's disappointing. I'm not doing anything with differently with John Gray based on this start, but, you know, I'm disappointed by it, sure.
Yeah, he looked about as dominant as I could have expected for the first four innings. You said it was similar to Cole, and it was in the results, but I thought he looked much better than Garrett Cole did through his first four innings. And then, I mean, there was a little bit of him falling apart. There was a little bit of him getting BABIPped. It was the Brewers had four doubles in that game that were ground balls, which is kind of a rare thing.
Yeah.
It's disappointing. I agree with Scott, but there was also a lot of reason to still be excited for the future.
All right, so Scott said you're not doing anything differently with John Gray based on the start. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to assume the answer is no, but I'll ask it anyway. Are you doing anything differently with any pitchers based on yesterday's starts?
Well, I mean, yesterday's starts were talking mostly aces, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, other than some potential injury issues there with Kluber and maybe Syndergaard down the line, no. But the ones, like, I'm at least thinking about picking up a couple of the pitchers who aren't aces and who aren't universally owned in fantasy who started yesterday.
I might see if I can make a buy low offer on John Gray.
Well, we got an email from Chad Simmons. Chad is an obsessed fantasy-stocrat, as he calls himself, from Cape Breton. He wants to know about Kendall Graveman, who has a new cutter, and it is surrounded by new Ks, according to Chad. Graveman did get some good strikeout numbers yesterday, and he is 49% owned. He struck out seven Angels. The Angels were a pretty tough team to strike out last year. Last year, Graveman only struck out 108 in 186 innings, but I was unaware of this cutter, and I don't know, we can look into that, but what do you think about Kendall Graveman?
There's something else going on with Kendall Graveman. He was one of the two pitchers I was mentioning just a second ago, not adding him in any mixed leagues yet, but a guy whose next start I'm going to watch very closely, next couple starts probably, because, yeah, I mean, six 7 strikeouts in 6 innings in this first start. It's unexpected from Kendall Graveman, but it's one start, and it's not like he's never done anything like that before. You wouldn't make much of it on its own. But in spring training, he had nearly a strikeout per inning as well. And his velocity toward the end of last season, it went up, and then it seemed like it's in this first start based on the early data from Brooks Baseball. And I looked at the broadcast to see if it verified what Brooks Baseball was saying, because Brooks Baseball had some questionable data early yesterday. So I don't want to get too excited until I know for sure, but it looked like Kendall Graveman's velocity was up even more in this start, to the point he was touching 98 with his fastball.
What I'm looking at says he is average 94.8 with his two-seamer, the max velocity of 97.7. The cutter, I'm not sure, because according to this, he only threw 2 cutters, 1 slider, and 1 changeup. And he threw 100 four-seam fastballs or two-seam fastballs.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't even know if the people doing the data would be able to accurately tell which one's the four-seamer and which one's the cutter. Like, that's kind of an issue that I have with some of these pitching metrics. It's an understandable mistake to make. Like, you know, it's
hard
to tell.
But here's what I can say that's 100% factual, okay? His Graveman had this start, which was very good, and the strikeouts were surprisingly high. His last 2 spring starts, 6 innings, 2 hits, 6 strikeouts, 7 innings, 5 hits, 7 strikeouts, and no walks in either of them. So, like, this is 3 starts in a row, granted only one of them counts, where he looked like a legitimate top-of-the-rotation pitcher. Now, this was against the Angels, right?
Yeah.
And those spring starts were against the Padres and White Sox. So still a lot more I need to see, particularly since Graveman has established a bit of a track record now. But if he's adding pitches, if he's picking up velocity, and we know for sure he picked up velocity the last couple months of last season, even if we're not sure about the start of this year yet, it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he didn't pitch all that well. He had some very good starts last year when he picked up the velocity, but a lot of bad ones too. So I think Graveman, probably, I think we're calling him like a wait and see, watch list kind of guy. Okay. All right then, we got to move on to hitters. But, you know, there was all, like, Irvin Santana had a 2.65 ERA after the All-Star break, and only 3 strikeouts but 1 run in 7 innings against the Royals yesterday. Jeremy Hellickson pitched well, but only had 1 strikeout at Cincinnati. And Edinson Volquez pitched well at Washington. 5 innings, no runs, 6 Ks. So, like, between Santana, Hellickson, Graveman, and Volquez, who would you... Give me your top 2 on that list. Irvin Santana, Hellickson, Graveman, Volquez.
I'd go Graveman, Santana.
Oh, so you're going to be even higher than me on Graveman, because I'll go Santana and Graveman. I think Santana's ownership could stand to rise even from the 75% it's at. Like, he's not a guy you're ever going to really, like, strain to get in your lineup in a one-start week, but he's just... He's the kind of, like, steady two-start option that you like to keep close.
Okay. Well, it is Team Name Tuesday, by the way. We have some team names to read, some emails to read. Wednesday is Grade the Trade Day, so email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We'll grade some trades. You can tweet me as well. I got a lot of team names to get to. I think I'm going to kind of sprinkle them in throughout the rest of the show. I will start with 2 team names from Lewis in New Brunswick, Canada. 2 team names. 1, never go against the Familia. Is that a Godfather reference?
You're going to have to get a little smoother in the transition of reading these.
I'm sorry.
Sell them.
Sorry. And 2 is interesting here. I wish I were an O's Kiermaier Wiener.
I like that one a lot.
What if we change it to O's Kiermaier Wieters?
I wish I was a O's Kiermaier Wieners.
Wieters.
No, I think it makes it a little too... Like, it doesn't flow as well with the changing
Wieners. I wish
Wieners
I was
an
O's Kiermaier Wiener.
Yeah.
Wieners.
Yeah, I like that better. No Wieners.
Okay, and then let me read one more. Oh, Shrimp Fried Bryce. Shimp fried Bryce.
I apologize to everyone who sent in these great team names.
What about Detlef Schimpf?
Detlef Schimpf is good too. This from Kyle, by the way.
Yeah, you kind of like you get that app where you can merge people's faces together.
Yeah, I think that's the second time you've used that.
Reference. I don't know that I've used, I mentioned it to you off the air.
Oh,
I,
off.
I
the
wanted
air.
That to be Team oh. Scams. Logo yeah, is our faces merged together.
There's an app for that, huh?
Apparently, yeah. I don't know. My sister's wedding. One of my cousins was showing it to me. So
it's funny stuff.
Don't know what it's called, but it exists.
Chris Bazo writes, "I won my league last year, trying to win another." That's not bad. All right, let's talk hitters. Multi-dong club. Yasmani Grandal, double dong. Chris Davis, double dong. Chris Davis with a K. Rougned Odor, double dong. Hooray.
This is exciting for all of them.
Yeah, all right, good.
And not entirely unexpected.
No, obviously Grandal is probably the one we're most excited about just because the other two are must-owns. Well, Grandal is too, but...
Yeah, I mean, listen, Chris obviously very excited about Yasmani Grandal, Jock Peterson. It's too bad that he's not here to talk about it.
Yeah, he's sick. He's sick.
Speaking of Grandal hitting two home runs, could there have been a more bipolar opening day matchup than Clayton Kershaw versus Ulysses Chacin?
No.
And it played out exactly the way it was supposed to.
Except it was 1-0 Padres.
Giving up 9 earned runs in 4 innings and the other 2 hitting the team. So,
yeah, that was a big mismatch. I got 4. Usually we do 3 up, 3 down. I got 4 up, 3 down today. 4 up, number 1 is Mike Moustakas, 57% owned. He homered yesterday. Only played 27 games last year. Do you think Mike Moustakas, 57% owned, is under-owned, over-owned, or just right?
Just right.
All right.
Yeah, I think eventually this Moustakas, Travis Shaw, Pablo Sandoval, there's even more.
Nick Castellanos.
Yeah, like that whole segment of third base is we're going to start to see some separations between the winners and the losers there. And then maybe if Moustakas is on the right side of that, he'll be a little underowned. But right now it's hard to pick between that big group.
Cesar Hernandez and Freddie Galvis both homered yesterday off Scott Feldman, these Phillies middle infielders, and they're both 35% owned. And yeah, are they underowned? Cesar Hernandez and Freddie Galvis.
I would say Hernandez, obviously, I think is underowned. Wrote about him on waiver wire yesterday, and I'm not so sure about Galvis because if you had to ask me, is Galvis going to be better than or worse than a lot of these upside shortstops that we are drafting and just didn't even consider Galvis really? He's probably going to be better than more than half of them, but he doesn't necessarily have the upside of any of them. So that's the problem with him.
Well, last year Galvis had 20 home runs and 17 steals, and he only finished as the number 18 shortstop in both points and roto. He hit 241. Now, very few runs in RBIs, 67 RBIs, 61 runs. Galvis, 36% owned. Not a huge need to get him. How about Lucas Duda, though, 29% owned? Duda in 2014 and 15 had an 830 and an 838 OPS. He averaged in those two seasons 33 homers per 162 games. He was terrible last year in 47 games, but do you think Lucas Duda is underowned at 29%?
Maybe a little. I don't, like you say, he averaged 33 home runs per 162 games, and he may average that again. I just don't think he'll come that close to 162 games. Wilmer Flores probably start against the lefties, and kind of a deeper league corner infield option is how I see Lucas Duda.
Okay. Let's go to 3 down. 3 down number 1, I'm just going to keep picking on this guy, Cameron Maybin, and I'm doing it because I want Ben Revere to be the starter. Maybin went 0 for 4 with 2 Ks at Oakland. He batted 6th. He started in left field, and I know that if Ben Revere is a regular player, he's a much more valuable player in fantasy than Cameron Maybin. So that's all I'm saying. 3 down number 2, Byron Buxton, 0 for 5 with 3 strikeouts against the Royals. And 3 down number 3, washed up Andrew McCutchen, 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts at Boston.
Yeah, I mean, Buxton made 2 great catches, so he has some job security, I would guess. McCutchen, If you didn't have much confidence in McCutchen coming into the year, you're probably seeing this as validation early on. But even good McCutchen would strike out three times in a game every now and then. So let's not put the cart before the horse here.
Okay. How about these team names from Ryan from Tampa? Sin Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's pretty good.
Donald like Trumbo. Donald
Wait,
Trumbo.
Sin Guardians or Cinder Guardians?
Damn it! Cinder Guardians of the Galaxy.
You're awful.
Donald Trumbo, I got that one right. And it's fun. And Trinan Wheels.
Yeah, if we pronounced it Trinan, which I thought as recently as a week ago.
That's exactly how they say it in Georgia.
Yeah.
Get you some Trinan Wheels on that bike.
Yeah, right.
All right. So those were good ones. Thank you. I'm looking for more team names. Dodgers edition team name. When Puigs Fly. And oh, I can make a combo here. Get Rich Hill or Die Trinan.
Get Rich. So we're just kind of ignoring it. It's Get Rich or Die Trying, but you have to throw the Hill in there.
Yeah,
to
get Rich Hill or Die Trinan.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all right.
Well, let's do no more team names then. Let's move on. Looking at the stolen bases from yesterday. Trey Turner, Xander Bogaerts, two steals. He said he's going to steal 20.
It's a matter of the heart, Adam. A matter of desire. Do you want it badly enough? Xander Bogaerts does.
Mark Reynolds wanted it pretty badly yesterday, but it was still a bad idea.
Did he get thrown? He got caught stealing, right?
Yes.
Well, he, 162 games to make maybe be right sometimes.
Who else? Anything that really stood out to you? Asdrubal Cabrera, Wilmer Flores, Charlie Blackmon. Domingo Santana and Keon Broxton did not hit well, but they both stole a base yesterday. That's cool.
Lorenzo Cain.
Alex Bregman, he had two steals in 49 games last year. Bregman had 20 steals in 30 attempts in 146 minor league games. Do you think Alex Bregman could steal 15 bases this year?
15?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Do you think he could steal 20 bases?
Possible. Less likely.
Well, yeah. Always
not counting 20, on
25 is even less likely.
25 can't happen.
That's where you draw the line.
Yep.
Not gonna happen.
Abraham Almonte for Cleveland, starting in place of Lonnie Chisenhall. Any interest in him? He had a good spring and a steal yesterday. He stole 8 bases in 182 at bats last year, so I guess there's some potential there for Almonte. Is he? Do we care? No?
Not yet.
All right. And Joey Gallo stole a base. G A L L O. The movie was on Saturday night, My Cousin Vinny. I never can avoid. If it's on, I'm watching it. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
It is highly rewatchable. I agree.
Yeah. Caught stealing yesterday. I noticed Gregory Polanco, Mark Reynolds, Ryan Braun, and Carlos Gomez were caught stealing. Gomez, like I said, I think he was safe. But Polanco, remember I brought this stat about Polanco? He really has a bad success rate. And of all the players who stole 30 or more bases last year, only Travis Jankowski had a lower success rate than Gregory Polanco. So that's something I'll be keeping an eye on. Is he actually successful? And he wasn't yesterday. He's 0-for-1. So there's that. And I don't think we have to say much about that. Did you notice anything in the lineups yesterday that you thought was interesting? Like Manuel Margot leading off, Andrew Tolles leading off for the Dodgers?
Yeah. This is what I was going to say, was Andrew Tolles leading off. I'd assume Logan Forsyth would every day, but early indications are it'll be Tolles against righties, and then I would guess Forsyth against lefties. And Tolles is an interesting player. I'm not convinced he'll play regularly enough, though batting high in the order when he does play does help with the at-bat situation. But he hit, 315 in part-time work last year, was in a regular part of the Dodgers playoff lineup. And you look at his minor league numbers, he missed a year, 2015, was out of baseball. But before that, and obviously last year before he got called up, there were some like Carl Crawford type numbers going on for Tolles. So, particularly in a 5 outfielder league, I think he's somebody to consider. And if we see him start a couple times against lefties, maybe even more than 5 outfielder leagues.
Couple of things that I think we'll see change today, but maybe not. Dyson hit ninth and Haniger hit second, but that's because they were facing Keuchel. So I would expect against a righty, we may still see Dyson in that spot. And same thing with the Padres with Manuel Margot leading off, Jankowski hitting ninth. I wouldn't be surprised if they flip-flop whenever it's against a right-handed pitcher. And then the thing that was probably the biggest thing for me was Evan Gattis not in the lineup. I would like to see him in the lineup today, please.
Yeah, good call. And I just want to say about Forsyth, he did not lead off yesterday, but he did bat fifth. So if that's the if he's going to bat fifth against righties and lead off against lefties, I still think that you're pretty excited about that if you like Forsyth. Eric Thames batted second, by the way. He's 47% owned. Domingo Santana batted fifth. Keon Broxton sixth.
And they get a lefty today as well, so that will be interesting to see. Does Thames sit today? Does Shaw? I don't think that's really probably going to happen, but it could. Who plays where? I would expect Hernan Perez to get in the lineup today.
What are we looking for today in terms of pitchers? I'm going to have my eye on, I would say, Sean Manaea and Patrick Corbin. Those would be the two. Oh, Lance McCullers, too. Oh, yeah, all the late ones. Actually, we don't have any day games today, but...
One day game.
Oh, we do. Detroit, Chicago, rescheduled from yesterday. Verlander, Quintana. Yeah, Carrasco is going to be worth watching. A lot of interesting stuff tonight. I think tomorrow is going to be a pretty juicy show, guys.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Okay, well, yeah. So let's keep an eye on them. And I don't know if there's anyone out there that you're picking up if he's unowned that's starting tonight. Like, I don't think we're going to care about Martin Perez, Tyler Anderson, Zach Davies.
Well, Corbin. Why not Corbin?
Oh, yeah. I forget. Yeah.
Saying earlier.
Sorry.
Yeah, Corbin has a good start against the Giants. I think he'll get a lot of waiver wire action, potentially even from me.
And, you know, if Jake Odorizzi is not owned, you just pick him up, start him tonight, and then drop him tomorrow.
Yeah, home game. Home game against the Yankees. It doesn't seem like a bad thing there. And, all right, let's read some emails to finish the show. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. This is from Zach. Dear Ahmed, Franklin, and Brendan. What's wrong with me today?
Those are guys, middle infielders that did not get a starting job?
Okay. Nick Sounds Ahmed, right Nick me. Franklin, Brendan Ryan?
I was thinking Brendan Rodgers.
Well, Ahmed and Franklin are both Knicks.
Nick Brendan?
Like, not New York Knicks, but their names are Nick.
No. Yeah, that's true, too.
They're lucky they're not New York Knicks. Oh, and Nick Brendan is somebody from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Here's the question. So Zach is ranking his 10 shortstops for 2018, and he doesn't have Xander Bogaerts in his top 10. He has Correa, Turner, Seager, Story, Gleyber Torres, Addison Russell, Lindor, VR, thinking he'll spell Arcia enough to keep eligibility, Segura, and Dansby Swanson. What is up with this, Zach? What is up with the Bogaerts hate because he was hit batting sixth yesterday?
Man, he doesn't... He made my bold prediction of Bogaerts not finishing in the top eight. He made that look pretty lame. Thanks a lot, Zach. By the way, if Bogaerts does live up to his prediction of stealing 20 bases this year, then my bold prediction is not coming true. Like, he's not going to regress that much as a hitter that if he's stealing 20 bases also, it's just not going to happen. So but, I disagree with Zach here, top 10, and I'm starting to disagree with myself, too.
And this Gleyber Torres and Dansby Swanson, like, if they are Xander Bogaerts next year, that will be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bogaerts, remember I said that, okay, I asked Heath and Chris, I gave you guys like two or three players, I said who's got the best chance to like break out even more, and it was between Springer and Bogaerts. I said Bogaerts, and I thought I was trying to say like he'll have better stats than Springer. I don't know that he'll have better stats than Springer. What I wish I had said, I think they're going to have pretty similar stats, but the fact that Bogaerts is a shortstop will make him more valuable than Springer. But I don't know. I really wish I had Xander Bogaerts. I don't have him in any leagues, and I'm regretting that. I don't care.
Hey, he doesn't have Aledmys Diaz in here also. Hey.
Yeah. Diaz, two
hey,
steals.
Hey, Zach.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right, here's a question from Will in Oakland. He says, hey, Bobby, Houston, and Andrew. Houston's
are
Angels relievers.
Who's Bobby?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I picked up Freddie Galvis. Who's better? Who's better to have this season, Galvis or Dansby Swanson?
Swanson.
Samsonite.
Yeah, that's, again, this is one of those guys I was talking about where Swanson's upside so much higher, I think you have to say him, but I'm not, like, I don't know what the odds of Swanson hitting 20 home runs and stealing 17 bases this year
are. What are the odds of Galvis doing that? I mean,
well,
it's not like...
He just did it, and he's already got a home run.
Okay. It was a surprise that he did it last year, but okay, fair enough.
Mike in Nueva York. I know he didn't do much. I didn't know. What? Okay. What happened to me? Why can't I talk today? What happened? Stupid. You know, why do they have to start the tournament game at 9 p.m., at 9:20? What is that?
Tournament.
The
I just noticed you say tournament. Do most people say tournament, or do they say tournament?
Tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's figure out where we finished. I finished 164th in the bracket out of like.
Congratulations.
That's high. Yeah.
Well, like I had UNC. Many? I'm guessing I finished amongst the worst of the UNC people.
Oh, you picked UNC.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, you beat all of us then.
I picked Gonzaga.
We don't need to do
it. It would have helped
anymore.
A lot.
Okay, good. I win. The question from Mike is really just about Haniger. I'm getting on board the Haniger hype train with Scott. I added him in shallow formats over players like Puig, Mazzara, and Beltran. Late bold prediction, Haniger wins Rookie of the Year over Benintendi.
Gonna have to be hard to do that when he doesn't get any hits.
Wow. I saw his walk last night though, man. Really that was such a good at bat.
Really nice walk, huh?
He came back from down 0-2 or 1-2 or something like that, fouled off a couple pitches. Really nice bat.
Yeah, it really helped those categories emerge.
Well, I don't, would you rather have Haniger or Puig?
Oh, I'm kind of leaning Haniger right now, but I have a lot of shares in both.
Haniger or Mazzara?
Mazzara.
I'd rather have Haniger.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Haniger or Beltran?
Haniger.
Yeah.
Unless it's a play, like, if I'm forced to start a player, I'm more likely to start Beltran right now. But
I'd sure like to love Mitch Haniger on my bench.
That's right. That's right.
Like, you want Mitch Haniger over all these guys as long as you don't have to actually play him.
I am playing it. I think I'm playing him in our league, Adam. Team Scam's playing him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm playing him in Tout.
I'm starting him
basically,
in two leagues.
Basically, 15 team leagues or deeper, I'm playing Haniger.
I'm starting him in a 14 team league. I think I'm starting him in our editorial league. This is from Wilkie. Dear Mike, George, and Brooks, 14 team head to head categories with two keepers. I have Trout. I also have Urias and only two bench spots. Trout's going to be one of his keepers. Is it worth keeping Urias and wasting one of my bench spots until he comes back up to the majors, or should I drop him and try to play waivers in a very crowded league that I know someone will pick up Urias if I drop him? 14-team head-to-head categories.
Only two bench spots?
Yeah, you can't do that.
I would probably try just because of the keeper aspect of it, but... you're gonna drop him eventually.
By the way, I just got offered Danny Duffy for Cole Hamels in our in our auction league. That's really weird.
Huh.
It's exactly what you said, Scott. But I also put out
wrote it yesterday, so maybe they wrote it.
I put out a note in that league that I'm kind of down on Hamels, and I would take something equivalent. I'll think about that one. I will think about that one.
That's a league where he actually matters as a SPARP.
No, he doesn't matter as a SPARP.
That's not our head-to-head league?
No, that's our auction league.
Well,
we have a head-to-head auction league.
It's our roto league.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'd rather have Hamels than Adam. I would.
Well, that's who I have. I think I might rather have Hamels. All right, I'm going to end the show. Thank you for listening, everybody. More of your emails tomorrow. Grade the trade. And, we'll have plenty to talk about. Tomorrow should be a fun show. For Heath and Scott and a sick Chris Towers, I'm Adam Azer. Peace out.